Jayate Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jayate Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Omagyane Tinananda Syagyananjana Sarakaya Chakshurun Miritam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Today we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 12, The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple, Texts 87 through 106. We're also going to discuss the appearance day of Jiva Goswami and the appearance of Lord Vamanadev. So since we have all three, we'll touch upon each one of them. Text 87.
Bhoga-mandire-sodhana-kari-sulida-pangana Sakara-vasa-krame-karira-sodhana.
After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, the bhoga-mandir, was cleansed. Then the yard was cleansed. And then all the residential quarters, one after another.
Trina dhuli jinkura sabe ekatra kariya bharira se rane pelaya bahira kariya.
After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his cloth and threw it outside. We can all sing the Bengali together. There are no purports to any of these verses, so it's pretty much just the story. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees, in great jubilation, began to gather straw and dust with their own cloths and throw them outside the temple.
The door
then told the devotees, I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust you have collected outside.
Text 91. Sabhara jantana bhoja ekatra karira sabha haiteta bhura bhoja arita haira.
Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was greater, much greater.
E mata abhyantara karira marjana puna shaka karibhira kariya vantana.
After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to cleanse.
Text 93. Shukshma dhuli trinha kankara sabhakara dhura bharamate sodhana karaha pavura antabhavura.
The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws, and grains of sand, and throwing them outside.
Shabha Vaishnava Vana Yade Dhui Bara Sudhira Deki Mahapupura Vane Santasha Haira.
After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas cleansed the temple for a second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the cleansing work.
Arasanta jhana sata ghate jarabhari Hata meilana ache kera apichakari.
While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots, and they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw them. So this is the continuing story right in the middle of it. They started right when Lord Chaitanya was cleansing the Bhoga Mandap. From the Jagannath temple to the Gundicha temple is where the Rath Yatra takes place.
According to the Skanda Purana, the advent of Lord Jagannath, when the log first came in the ocean and they brought it to be carved into the forms of the Lord, that happened right next to where Gundicha is. And back of the Gundicha temple is the Nrisimha temple. And Lord Nrisimhadev was worshipped by Narada Muni, who was assisting King Indradumna, and his whole capital city had transferred from Avantipur. I think everybody pretty much knows the story, how the Brahmin Vidyapati came and found the deity, went back and told Indradumna. The whole group came, and while they were looking for Lord Nilamadava, a big tree appeared in the ocean, and Lord Narada Muni had come to instruct Indradumna how to install this new deity of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra, who are worshipped in this universe during the second half of Lord Brahma's life. The first half is of his life in Shankshetra, in Purushottamakshetra, in Jagannath Puri, Lord Nilamadava is worshipped. And for the second half of his life, Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra are the forms that are worshipped. So when that carving was first going on, that was near the Nrisimhadev temple. Meanwhile, King Indradumna built the temple on Nilagiri Hill. There's supposed to be a hill there. Right now it's kind of just a big mound. Thank you. So the first Rath Yatra actually went the other way. It went from the Nrisimha temple, where the deity was carved, up to the temple, where they had made facilities for Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra to stay. So Lord Jagannath stays there all year long in the Jagannath Dvara temple, and once per year he comes back to Gundicha, which is compared to Vrindavan, Sundarachala, his childhood home. So he comes back once per year. In other words, that temple that's sitting there all year long, last week, Swaha asked Radharaman Maharaj, why the temple, if it's a temple of Krishna, why it's dirty? Why it's so dirty that they can get buckets and cloths full of dirt? Well, the reason is nobody's there for the whole year. It's empty. He leaves and goes back to his temple, and he stays there the whole year until the next Rath Yatra. So during that time, and Jagannath Puri being right on the west coast of India, on the Bay of Bengal, there's a lot of sand, there's a lot of dust, there's like cyclones and typhoons and things like this, and dirt piles up in the building. So once per year, the day before Rath Yatra, the deity is coming. So let's go cleanse the temple. Prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they had assigned duties for some of the Saivites at the Jagannath temple. But since the time of Lord Chaitanya's performing this pastime, hundreds of Gaudiya Vaishnavas also go to assist. Even Western devotees can go at least into the compound, can't go into the temple, but can go into the compound and help clean up. So we just learned how they cleanse the temple. There's some residential quarters there for the deity, for the devotees, for the Saivites, for the pujaris, and the kitchens. And all this was cleansed prior to Lord Jagannath's coming. In back of the Jagannath temple, in back of Gundicha's Nrisimha temple, then there's a four-way street. One goes to Atharanala, the entrance to Jagannath Puri. The other one goes out to Chakratirtha. And then there's the road that goes directly north-northeast goes back out into the villages. This is where all the residences were for Indradumna's city. And that's where all the cows and the bullock carts and everybody's tents or whatever they made were at the time that they were installing the deity. There were so many cows that their dung and their urine and their hoof prints created an indentation, which later turned into a big tank. It's called Indradumna tank. So it's described earlier that the 100 devotees who were standing with water pots had gotten the water at Indradumna tank. It's quite a little walk. It's not like right over there. It's probably a couple hundred meters, a couple hundred yards, walking with big pots of water. And they made that line of people from Indradumna tank to the Gundicha Marjana. So now they've swept out everything, and then they're going to take the water and throw it. The buildings in Puri, now of course we have cement, but hundreds of years ago, even thousands of years ago, it was stone. The original temple that's there now, built in the 13th century, is stone. The geography of Orissa, or Kalinga, at the time it was the Kalinga Empire, is if you go from the west coast and start going in just like in America, you go inland and you come to the Appalachian Mountains on the east coast and the Rocky Mountains on the west coast. So similarly, if you go east from Jagannath Puri between what's now Orissa and Bihar, there are hills. This is like the forest of Jarikanda and hills and Khandagiri. And that's where they brought the stone from to build these buildings. So what they're going to do is take the water and throw it, because it's a stone building. It's like, there's not all kinds of paintings and decorations. It's an empty building. And they can throw everything and then put the decorations or whatever they're going to have back. Text 96.
Janana bhali habe mahaprabhu koila habe sata gata ani prabhu angedila.
As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for the water, all the men immediately brought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord.
Pratama kahire prabhu mandira prakshalana urdhva dhyado bita griha madhya simhasana.
In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first washed the main temple, and then thoroughly washed the ceiling, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, or the simhasana, and everything else within the room.
Kapharha bariya jhara urdhva charaira
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, with his devotees, began to throw water onto the ceiling. Then this water fell. When this water fell, it washed the walls and floor.
Se haste karena simhasenera margana pravohage jhara ani dheva bhaktadana.
Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands, and all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord.
Bhakta ghane kare griha marje karatsana nija nija haste kare mandira marjana.
All the devotees within the temple began to wash. Each one had a broom in his hand, and in this way they cleansed the temple of the Lord. There's two kinds of brooms in India generally. One is a soft broom and one is a hard broom. They come from the reeds and growth of grass in the forest. So a soft one kind of moves around. It's a broom with bristles that move. And you use that for the dirt prior to the water. And then there are harder ones that have like harder bristles. And once you throw the water, you can just use those. So apparently they had a bunch of brooms also.
Keva jhara ani deha mahabhura kare deha jhara deha tanya charana upare.
Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on his lotus feet.
Keha lug dhana kare sejala dhana keha magireha keha anekare dhana.
The water that fell from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drunk by someone who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was giving that water in charity.
Garadhui pranali kaya jhara chari dhira se jhare prandana sabha bhariya radhira.
After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet, and then it flowed and filled the yard outside.
Nija vastri kaira prabhu griha samarjana mahaprabhu nija vastri majura simhasana.
The Lord mopped the rooms with his own clothes, and he polished the throne with them also.
Sata jata jare haira mandira majana mandira sodhiya kaira yena nijanana.
In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms.
Nirmalasthavastigna karera mandire apanahidayena dharera bahire.
When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. And thus the Gundicha temple is getting ready for Lord Jagannath's presence. Jana. Now Jiva Goswami. Before we go to Jiva Goswami, I want to explain a little bit about the difference between a Vaishnav calendar and the Western calendar that most of the world follows. Sometimes we see names that aren't really clear. Why is there like a Vedic day that's different from a regular date? And the answer is that some calendars, there's basically two kinds of calendars. The present calendar that the world follows is called the Gregorian calendar. January, February, March, April, May. 12 months. Based on the movements of the sun, how the sun goes through the entire zodiac, through all the 12 signs in the zodiac, it takes one year, 365 days, and they've calculated an entire calendar. It's basically a Christian calendar. It was established in 1583, which is not that old. Prior to that, there was the Julian calendar, which was started by Julius Caesar around the time of Jesus Christ. And that's basically the same calendar. But it's based on the movements of the sun through the zodiac. In Vedic astrology, the sun rules what? The gross body, the external world, what we see. So that calendar is based very much on an external manifestation of material energy. However, the Jewish calendar, the Muslim calendar, and the Hindu calendar, or our Vedic culture, calendar, are calculated according to the movements of the moon. And the moon is the ruler of our subtle sense, our mind, our emotions, and those kinds of worlds. Because actually what happens according to the Vedic concept is that what we're thinking, feeling, and willing manifests on the outside. In other words, you think of it first, you want to do it, you create a desire, then you act with your gross body. It actually comes from the subtle world. So the concept of a Vedic culture, of a Vedic calendar, is meant to help people conceive of and be aware of and time things according to this subtle concept. Now, what is that lunar day? A tithi. It's called a tithi, a lunar day. If you take your hands and put them out to your sides like this, we can say that this is the sun and this is the moon. My right hand is the sun, my left hand is the moon. And they're 180 degrees apart, correct?
Yes.
When the sun and the moon in the sky are 180 degrees apart, that's a full moon. Because the sun is shining past the sun, past the earth, onto the moon's surface. The entire thing, you can see it. At night, it was interesting. When I was thinking of this Gundicha Marjana, they didn't have, like, why didn't they just turn on the hose? Because they didn't have electricity. People hundreds of years ago lived much more in tune, much more in touch with nature. So the concept of the moon's phases. Samapriya, my wife, grew up in New York City and said that she didn't really even see the stars when she was young because there's so much light coming from everything that we've built up. For those of you who are following the storm in Houston, we saw one report that the reason it's flooding so badly now is because there's so much concrete and cement that there's no place for the water to go down. So it's actually a man-made problem. It's not just that there's a lot of rain, it's that there's a lot of rain and there's no place for the water to go. So the reservoirs have all over-flooded. So in this way, we're not really attuned. But if you go out at night, obviously I think everybody pretty much has a basic idea that the moon goes through two phases. Its growing phase, where it's from the dark moon night until the full moon. That's called Shukla Paksha. It's a growing day by day, the moon gets brighter. Then there's the dark moon, where you can't really even see the moon. And then every day it starts to get bigger, smaller. It goes to the full moon. Full moon is the Shukla Paksha. Then it starts to get darker. That's the Krishna Paksha. Krishna means? Black, dark. So as it gets darker, it's the Krishna Paksha. As it gets lighter, it's the Shukla Paksha. So if you have your 180 degrees, and then what happens is that the sun and the moon don't move around the earth at the same velocity. The moon moves faster. The moon is 28 days for a month, and the sun is 31 days. So if you take your hand and move it a little slowly, that would be like the sun moving. But if you move your hand quicker, it's like the moon moving. Now from the 180 degrees, when it's 12 degrees difference, it's moved 12 degrees, that's one lunar day. How many degrees in a circle? 360 divided by 30?
12.
12 times 30 is? 360. So 30 days. 15 days for the Shukla Paksha, 15 days for the Krishna Paksha. Each lunar day is according to the angle of the sun and the moon from our position on Earth. Every 12 degrees is another day. It has nothing to do with where the sun is in the sky. We think a day means either 12 midnight to 12 midnight or sunrise to sunset. It has nothing to do with that. That's the external world. It has to do with the degrees between the sun and the moon. So today is Dwadasi. It's the 12th day in the month of Hrishikesh is the appearance day of Lord Ramanadev and the appearance day of Jiva Goswami. So, we'll read about Jiva Goswami when he was a young man. It's too short a time to discuss details of all three of these topics. So we did the Mandir Marjana of Gundicha. Now, this is by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's from the Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya, chapter 4. Listen, O saintly people. As I sing the description of Navadvipa Parikrama, referring to scripture, the statements of Shastra, the words of the Vaishnavas, and the teachings of the Lord, these three are my life. Taking shelter of these three, I will describe the rules for circumambulating Navadvipa. Listen, everyone. What are the three? What are the three things of Bhaktivinoda Thakura's life? Statements of Shastra, words of the Vaishnavas, teachings of the Lord. When Jiva Goswami, as a young man, left his home in Chandradvipa with great eagerness, he cried out, Nadia, Nadia. Jiva Goswami, as most of us know, is the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan. So therefore he lived in Ramakeli, the village where Rupa and Sanatan were government ministers. Their brother was named Anupama, or Vallabha. His name was Vallabha from birth, and Lord Chaitanya gave him the name of Anupama. So his son, when Lord Chaitanya went to Ramakeli to meet Rupa and Sanatan when they were government ministers, Jiva Goswami was just a little boy, not even 5 years old. But, as we'll see, he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this image of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the activities of his father and his uncles greatly inspired him to want to go to Navadvipa. As he traveled along the paths, he lamented, tears flowing from his eyes like streams. O Gauranga, Nityananda, you are the life of the living entities. When will you show mercy on me and give me your darshan? Again and again, he exclaimed, O Navadvipa, topmost of all dhams, when will I see you? It was a startling sight to see the young, attractive form of Jiva, who was practicing extreme renunciation. His heart was always full of ecstatic love as he traveled along. After some days, he arrived at Navadvipa. Seeing the city from a distance, he offered dandavat obeisances and nearly lost consciousness. After some time, he regained his composure and, trembling in ecstasy, entered the town of Navadvipa. When he came to Balakana Ghat, he asked, Where is Nityananda Prabhu? Please, let me see him. One of the devotees saw the elevated emotional state of Jiva Goswami and offered to take him to where Lord Nityananda was staying. At that time, Nityananda was in great ecstasy and began roaring with laughter on perceiving that Sri Jiva was coming to him. As Lord Nityananda ordered his servants to bring Jiva there, many Vaishnavas went out to call him. Upon seeing Jiva, whose body was filled with ecstatic symptoms, they could understand his identity. Filled with love, someone came forward and revealed the order of Nityananda Prabhu. Just hearing the name of Lord Nityananda, Jiva fell to the ground unconscious. After a few moments, he got up and said, "Oh, I'm greatly fortunate. Though the lowest of men, I have received the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu." Offering his dandavats to all the devotees, with a glad heart, he said, "If you all show me mercy, then I can get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. This is the verdict of the scriptures." Seeing the good fortune of Jiva Goswami, some of the Vaishnavas took dust from his feet on their heads with great jubilation. They then all took him to Lord Nityananda's place. Lord Nityananda was surrounded by devotees as he spoke about Lord Krishna. Seeing that transcendental form of Nityananda Prabhu, Jiva Goswami's body was transformed with extraordinary emotions. "Oh, what a wonderful form I'm seeing today," he exclaimed, and again fell unconscious. Swayed by great compassion, Lord Nityananda lifted Sri Jiva up and accepted him as his own. Jiva Goswami was overcome with emotion. He stood with folded hands and began to speak to the Lord. "You are the form of the universe, the abode of the universe, Lord Balaram. Being an insignificant living entity, I'm your eternal servant. My only aspiration is the shade of your lotus feet. That person who receives your mercy easily attains the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and drowns in the water of prema. Without your mercy, no one will get Gaura, even if he worships Gaura for 100 lifetimes. Sometimes Lord Gauranga may punish someone, but if you protect him, no one will punish him. Gauranga will never accept him, but if you punish someone, Gauranga will never accept him. Therefore, Lord, only on the strength of my past devotional activities I take shelter of your lotus feet. Be merciful and give me permission that I may receive the darshan of Lord Chaitanya and gain attachment to him." So imagine his heart. His heart, his foremost desire is that he wants to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I wonder if that will come to be. "When Lord Chaitanya came to Ramakeri and accepted my uncles, I was a young child. At that time, my eyes filled with tears as I saw Gauranga's form, which since then always appears in my mind. I fell and offered obeisances at Lord Chaitanya's feet and became filled with happiness as I touched his transcendental body. At that time, the Lord told me to study the scriptures, and after finishing studies, go to Navadvipa, where I would attain everything at the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu. Although I am insignificant, I took that order on my head and have acquired as much knowledge as I could. But though I studied all the books in the village of Tundradweep, I could not get a suitable Vedanta teacher. The Lord ordered me to study Vedanta and reveal Krishna Bhakti, conforming to the Vedanta sutras. So, I have come to Navadweep to your lotus feet. Whatever you order, I will obey. By your order, I will go to Jagannath Puri and study Vedanta under Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya." Hearing these sweet words of Jiva Goswami, Nityananda Prabhu embraced him and, unable to contain himself, began weeping and said, "Listen, Jiva, to these confidential words. Rupa and Sanatan know all the philosophy. The Lord ordered me to tell you not to stay in Puri. Everyone knows that you and your two uncles are pure servants of the Lord. The Lord ordered that you go to Varanasi and thoroughly study the Vedanta under Madhusudana Vachaspati. From there, go to Vrindavan, where you will get the mercy of Rupa and Sanatan. Under Rupa Goswami's direction, worship their lordships, Radha and Krishna, and thoroughly discuss scriptures such as Vedanta. You should preach that Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost scripture and the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. Previously, Lord Chaitanya bestowed his mercy upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and explained Vedanta to him according to the Bhagavat tradition. Sarvabhauma then taught this carefully to Madhusudana Vachaspati in Puri. On the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhusudana Vachaspati now resides in Varanasi. Go there and meet him. Externally, he acts like a traditional Vedantist, and many followers of Sankaracharya's study under him. Gradually, however, he gives them mercy by teaching them the precepts of Gaudiya Vaishnavism through the Vedanta Sutras. At this time, there is no necessity for a separate commentary on the Vedanta Sutras, for the Bhagavatam explains all these sutras. When there is need for another commentary, Sri Govinda Bhasya will be revealed. Along with Sarvabhauma, Gopinathacharya heard the Lord's commentary. Later, by the wish of Sri Chaitanya, Gopinathacharya will take birth as and write the Govinda Bhasya, Baladev Vidyabhushana, and will conquer Jayapur with philosophical commentary. In Jayapur, he will serve Lord Gauranga by writing Govinda Bhasya and thus free the living entities from the material bondage. Your two uncles, Rupa and Sanatan, will tell you all these confidential topics. Hearing Nityananda Prabhu speak, Jiva Goswami began weeping and fell to the ground unconscious. Nityananda then bestowed his mercy upon Jiva by putting his two lotus feet upon his head, thereby giving him spiritual strength. Jiva Goswami then began dancing in that assembly of Vaishnavas, chanting, Jai Sri Gauranga, Jai Nityananda Rai! Hari Bol! Witnessing the display of Nityananda's mercy, Srivas Thakur and the other devotees present began dancing and chanting, Sri Gauranga, Nityananda, and the place resounded with a great spiritual vibration. After some time, Jiva controlled his dancing, and Nityananda Prabhu had him sit down nearby. Jiva Goswami stayed at Srivas Thakur's home, but in the evening, he again came to see Nityananda Prabhu. As Nityananda Prabhu was sitting alone, singing the glories of Lord Gauranga, Jiva Goswami came forward and fell at his lotus feet. Lord Nityananda was very particular to make Jiva sit close to him. Jiva Goswami, however, became very aware of his own miserable condition. He folded his hands and said, Lord, be merciful to me, and please describe to me the essential truths of Navadvipa Dham. Lord Nityananda said, Oh Jiva, I will tell you. But now you should keep these topics deep within your heart. Do not broadcast them here and there just yet. They will be propagated after our Lord completes his manifest pastimes. This Navadvipa is the best of dhams. Crossing over the Viraja River and the Brahman effulgence, beyond the Vaikuntha planets, one comes to Svetadvipa, Sri Goloka. Penetrating further, one comes to Goloka Vrindavan, or Krishna Loka. That Krishna Loka exists in two states of emotion. Rasa expands there in the form of madhurya and adhurya, sweetness and munificence. Adhurya exists within madhurya in fullness, and madhurya exists within adhurya in fullness. But that place where madhurya is the chief state is known by fortunate persons as Vrindavan, and that place where adhurya is eternally predominant is called Navadvipa in all the Vedas. There is no difference between Vrindavan and Navadvipa. Only the different manifestations of rasa makes them distinct. And then the story goes on to describe Navadvipa as Jiva Goswami goes with Lord Nityananda on parikrama to all the different places. So that's a little bit about Jiva Goswami. Now remember I told you about the different tithis. And today is the Dwadasi in the Hrishikesh month, appearance of Jiva Goswami, appearance of Vamanadev, and also my wife, Samapriya, her Vedic birthday is today. When a person has a name, like when we get our Vaishnava name, generally we penetrate that topic more deeply than others because it's meaningful to us. So Samapriya has contemplated this topic of the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva and his relationship with Lord Bali. And since I've known Sama, she's always writing. She likes to do journals. She likes to take particular topics or write poems. And what she's doing for the last year is taking 40 years worth of stuff that she's written either on a computer or in journals, and transferred it all into a format where she wants to make a book of meditations. So we wanted to have her read her meditation on this topic.
Hare Krishna, thank you. On this glorious day, the Lord appears to favor his pure devotee and my hero by ripping everything away from him. Thus, Bali Maharaj bears witness to the greatest of all benedictions. When Bali Maharaj saw Vamanadeva approaching the fire jetla, he immediately became enchanted. When warned by his guru not to receive him with gifts and offerings of love and surrender, Bali neglected his counsel. It was his long time custom to give generously to the Brahmanas. Why should he not give alms to this beautiful Brahmana boy? And if he is Lord Vishnu, then why should he not lay all his possessions and his very life at the lotus feet of the Lord? Bali Maharaj was a pure devotee and a Mahajan. As a perfected soul, he knew the desires of the Lord and was eager to satisfy them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays that even if he becomes crushed by Lord Krishna's embrace, nothing will deter him from complete unconditional surrender. Bali Maharaj was crushed by the embrace of the Lord like no one else before. The relationship between Lord Vamanadeva and his pure devotee Bali is beyond anything possible in this world. It is a tumultuous tempest of surrender and love between the perfect master and the perfect servant. In Srimad Bhagavatam 8.22.4, Bali Maharaj says, although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard this punishment you have given me as most exalted. Purport. Punishment meted out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted by the devotee as the greatest mercy. The tamu kampam shushamikshamano bujana e bhakna fritam vapakam vidvagvapo vir bhagadham namaste jiveta yo mukti padesa dayabhak. One who sees your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances to you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. A devotee knows that so-called punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. Therefore, the punishment awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared even to the greatest benefit awarded by one's material father, mother, brother, or friend. End of purport. My Lord, we pray to you to become free from selfishness and envy and completely surrender to your desire. You are the supreme controller and dearmost friend of all living entities. We pray to be able to serve you in whatever arrangement you make with complete faith that your plan is always perfect and best. Bali Maharaj did not hesitate to give everything to his worshipable Lord, thus fulfilling his promise to the limit of his intelligence. As he surrendered to Lord Vamanadeva, his only focus was the Lord's satisfaction. Ultimately, any separate desire became extinct. This is the condition of absolute freedom. One who is situated in his constitutional position does not care for his maintenance or satisfaction. These things automatically come. Srila Prabhupada so sweetly gives the example of a rich man's son. He is secure in being well protected and provided for by his loving mother and father. The child is happy in complete dependence and faith in his trustworthy parents. And as he grows, so does a strong desire to please them. In the same way, a devotee's desire to please the Lord purifies his existence and becomes his only purpose. On this day of Vamanadvarasi, which is my Vedic birthday, I have a choice to come to a higher platform of devotional service or wallow in my distress over not being satisfied by the fleeting pleasures offered in this illusory world. My dear Lord Vamanadeva, thwarting the material aspirations of your aspiring devotees is a lenient understatement. You ruin any hopes for material happiness for those upon whom you bestow your causeless mercy. One cannot gain lasting happiness from anything in a world where everything is transient. Surrendering with full acceptance and an open heart to whatever plan the Lord arranges is the only way to satisfaction. If we wish for anything else, we run the risk of taking another birth to fulfill that desire. The safest course is to accept whatever the Lord arranges as one's quota, nothing more and nothing less. There is good reason for everything that is happening, and whether we believe it or not, the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not have to check with us to have his plans approved. We should have that much faith in the plan of the Lord. In order to pacify Maharaj Prithu in his thwarted desire to perform 100 horse sacrifices, the Supreme Teacher, Lord Brahma, said, "My dear King, do not be agitated and anxious because your sacrifices have not been properly executed due to providential impediments. Kindly take my words with great respect. You should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of material thought." This glorification of Lord Vamana and his pure devotee finds completion in Srila Prabhupada's purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 5.24.21. When he again reminds us of the ultimate goal of life. Quote, "The Lord became Bali Maharaj's doorkeeper, not because of his giving everything to the Lord, but because of his exalted position as a lover of the Lord." Hare Krishna.
So any topics, discussions, questions on Gundicha, Jiva Goswami, or Lord Vamanadeva? Jai, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Also, Samapai has some of the Mangalartik sweets. Please go and get some.
Instruction.
Thank you. Actually, Keshava, can you put on the slideshow on YouTube?
Yeah, Acharya. Then we can purify. And unless we are purified, there is no question of pure devotional service. So after Pratita Smritaha, if one does not want to become advanced, right, one does not want to become purified, then he remains a Pratita Bhakta. Pratita Bhakta means executing devotional service under the instruction of spiritual master and the regulative principles of Shastra. But it is still on the platform of material understanding. That is called Prathita Bhakti. If Prathita Bhakta cannot understand how another Bhakta is transcendental, if Prathita Bhakta cannot understand that Vrindava is always transcendental, therefore, Sri Jiva Goswami has discussed this point in his Tattva Sandarbha, that we cannot accept any manufactured ideas, because everyone is defective, like the four defects of material life. We have to accept the person of Vedas, Puranas. He has tried to establish Puranas as Vedic supplemental. Others will reject Puranas out of the Vedas. A Jiva Goswami established all the Goswami, just like Rupa Goswami has given, Suti Smriti Puranas, Panchadatriti Vibhim Vira, Koi Gantiti Harir Bhakti Utpata Eva Kalpa. The Utpata, disturbance, if you do not follow the principles of Suti Smriti Puran, Panchadatriti Vibhim, that we are discussing this point, Sarvapadhini Muktam, this is Pancharatri Nidhi. If we do not follow these principles, without following these principles, the so-called devotional service, Hari Bhakti, Utva, simply disturbs. Simply disturbs. Therefore, we have to follow the principles laid down by the Goswamis. Sarvasara, Bandi, Vinsa, Sanatana, Raji, Vol, Sri Jiva, Gopal. And then, after the success, thank you.
From what?
The
ancient world.
Yeah, when I made this Bhagavad association
in one study, only missing,
one of my men, he dragged me. I was at that time a nationalist. And that.
Geometry,
you can
pick up
counting. Is that a possibility? I could have to listen to the book back then. And many of them, my new grandmother, who's a so one of my friends, he asked me when he was a nice shadow.
I think that's a much smaller
of the culture. Right, right. But it's still there. Sure. Something must be in there. Like I was saying, that Julian County.